Six school districts in Western New York rejected spending proposals on Tuesday, including in Niagara-Wheatfield, where the budget missed passage by just three votes. Across the state, 642 districts held budget votes. And joining us with some perspective this morning is Tim Creamer, Executive Director of the New York State School Boards Association. Thanks very much for joining us this morning, sir.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Locally, the big story here has been what was going on in Clarence. Voters overwhelmingly rejected a 9.8% tax increase. And obviously, you have a bigger, broader perspective of this with all these school districts that you're trying to keep an eye on. But when you look at something like this and when you hear about that level of tax increase, is this just a case of sticker shock or is there more to these stories?
Well, it probably is sticker shock. This is one of those districts that attempted to, what we say, pierce the cap. They have a tax cap calculation. Every district's different. And the one that in Clarence was one that the school officials in Clarence felt like, we cannot put together the educational program we need with these kind of resources. We're going to need to go beyond what the cap is for us. What their limit was 5.3%, and they went after, it looks like, an 11.6% tax levy. They weren't successful. They're not the only ones. There were several that attempted to pierce the cap. Niskayuna, which is a well-to-do suburb of Albany, also failed in his vote, as did Scarsdale, a very wealthy community down in Westchester, attempted to pierce the cap. They went down. The good story is, if you stayed at or below the cap, well over 90% of the school districts did pass their budgets. If you stayed at or below the cap and were not successful, it typically was in small, rural, poor school districts. All of those districts will go back for a second vote in all likelihood on June 18th.
And I most certainly want to get into that. But before we do, it's interesting that the other two districts that you mentioned offhand, besides Clarence, you described as wealthy school districts. And here in Clarence is most certainly what I would call an enviable community here in this area. It has a tradition of great schools, traditionally high property values. And I want to talk about that connection a little bit, if you can give us some input. You know, what impact do quality schools have on property values?
Well, absolutely. I mean, I live in a community where I live in Voorheesville. Voorheesville is a bedroom community. There's basically no commercial development here. What we have is the school reputation. And if you're going to move into Voorheesville, you're probably moving in here because of the schools. And so it becomes the thing that does maintain your property value, and I assume that's probably likewise in Clarence. What you do have is a situation where the people in Clarence probably feel as if this tax cap is something that is, what I'm sensing is people are accustomed to it already. Mm-hmm. It's only the second year of that, but they're saying, you know, this seems like a legitimate calculation as to what is an affordability factor. And given that fact, we believe that if you stay at or below the cap, in all likelihood, we'll support you. If you go beyond the cap, we're going to have a tough time doing so.
In my open, we mentioned Niagara-Wheatfield. It was just three votes that separated passage from being turned down. Yes. What for these districts, though, what do they have to do now to get prepared for that June 18th vote?
They have to decide if they're going back. They don't have to. They can go to a contingency, but a contingency is drastic action these days because that's a zero tax levy increase. That means you can't raise any more money locally next year than you do this year. Likely they're going to go back on June 18th. They'll take a look at whether or not this budget can be successful just as is. Three votes. Boy, I'd be tempted to at least go back with the same sort of thing, but they may want to sharpen their pencils a little bit and come back with something a little lower. Talking about Niagara-Wheatfield for a moment, I've been talking with a lot of press the last couple of days and talking about if you stay at or below the cap, in all likelihood, you're going to vote. And I worried that people might become complacent, that they might think, that district's below the cap. They're going to pass. I usually do. I'm not too worried about it. Hence, I'm going to do something other than go out and vote. And there you go. Three votes might have made the difference in Niagara-Wheatfield.
And then one of the things that comes out of the notes provided by your office is a lot of these increases, and they've been massive, are being driven by employer pension contributions. And what's in the future for this? Is that problem or that reality only going to increase as we move forward in time?
This is the biggest difficulty that school districts have. our main cost driver this year is a 37% increase in the employer's contribution to the teacher's retirement system. There's nothing we can do about it. We get sent a bill, and we have to pay it. The only thing we could do is hire less people, but that isn't going to help us for the bill that we have sitting before us now. 37% increase, it's a dramatic increase. It's because of the recession. These retirement systems, both their teacher's retirement system and the retirement system that's used for non-instructional employees, lost significant earnings during the recession. They're now having to rebuild their portfolios in order to be fully funded, and they do so primarily by increasing the employer's contribution rate. The employer's contribution rate comes directly from the taxpayers.
Now, Mr. Creamer, thank you very much for your perspective this morning.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Tim Creamer is the executive director of the New York State School Boards Association. He joins us live this morning on WBFO.